Good morning, church family. Obviously, I am not Pastor Dave, our lead pastor. I am Pastor Derek. I'm the family children's pastor here. Pastor Dave, he has been away at a conference, and then he's taking a couple days vacation. It's like you need a rest after a missions trip and a conference. So he will be back next week to continue the series in Genesis. But today, I get to fill in, and I get to bring and teach God's word to you. Today we're going to look at a lifelong command. That's like our big idea here this morning. But I want to start off talking about these two men here on the screen. I know some of you guys already know who they are. So the person on the left is my father. The person on the right, who might be a little bit more well-known in our church, is my father-in-law, Dennis. And I am very thankful for these two men. They are willing to spend their time with me. They're willing to spend their knowledge with me. Just this week, my dad was over at my house helping me fix my bathroom. My father-in-law is willing to drop everything at a moment's notice to come and help me with anything it might be. Typically, it's moving furniture because I don't want my dad to throw out his back. But I am thankful for their willingness to help me in any way that I need. These men, they also listen to my dreams, my concerns, and my desires in life. But this picture was taken about 9 years ago when my wife and I were dating. This is a more current photo. And if you can tell, they're a little bit older, a little bit whiter, maybe even a little bit heavier. But because I've seen this transition take place in their life over the last 9 years, it's caused me to pause and consider, am I honoring them well? What does it mean for me as an adult to honor them well? And this has been brought into light because the kids' ministry team, we've been walking through the Ten Commandments as a Sunday school and in Grow Kids with the children here. And this question has kept coming to my mind. And as I began to study this topic, honestly, the less and less I wanted to preach this message. I even looked at possibly preaching a couple of other different texts, but God kept directing me back to this message. So the question is, how can we honor our parents? And we're gonna see that God expects believers to honor our parents, no matter the age, whether we are 2 years old or 102. This is a lifelong command that God has given us. So this is something that is not optional in God's eyes, or something that only little children do, because how we honor our parents, it is a direct reflection of how we are honoring God. So this is a lifelong command to honor our parents that every single one of us in this room, we have been given. And honestly, this should come as no surprise to us, because if you think back to when God started the family, he started the family unit before sin even entered the world. The family, as God designed it, working perfectly, is a good thing for us. And because of that, God, throughout his word, he addresses the matter of the family, especially relationships between children and their parents, time and time again throughout scripture. So if the family matters to God, and as believers in Jesus, we should desire to follow the family structure the way that God intended it. So just so that you can track with me this morning, just so that you can know where we're headed this morning, we're going to look at when this command was first given to the Israelite people. Then we're going to look at Jesus's life, see how he taught about this issue, and see how he modeled this in his own life. And then we're going to wrap up everything by jumping into the book of Ephesians and seeing how Paul addressed the church over this matter. And then the last half of the message, we'll just simply put it all together and pull out some principles of how we can apply the knowledge that we are learning here today. So if you have your Bible, please turn to Exodus 20 and we will begin our study. So here in Exodus, we're picking up the story of Israel's history, where they have just come out of living in Egypt for 400 years as they had been slaves in Egypt. And God is now leading his people to the promised land. And as he is leading them to the promised land, he is teaching them all these different lessons. He's teaching them all these different things, because in the 400 years that the Israelites had lived in Egypt. They had picked up the Egyptians' culture. They had picked up the Egyptians' customs. They had picked up the Egyptians' forms of worship. And God is teaching his people, this is what it looks like to follow me. So he gives command after command after command after command, saying, this is how you obey me. This is how you worship me. But then God, in his goodness and his kindness, he just simply summarizes all these commands into what we call the Ten Commandments, which you're probably all quite familiar with. So it's just a summary of all the commands. And if you've taught or you've sat in a classroom, you've experienced this. A teacher will say, hey, here are the three big rules. You know, we're to honor one another. We're supposed to treat one another with respect. You're supposed to listen to me and respect me. I don't know. But the teacher, they're expecting a whole lot more than just you obeying just those three commands. But it all falls underneath that umbrella. That's what God is doing here with the Ten Commandments. He is summarizing all these commands. This is what it looks like to follow me. This is what it looks like to love me. And the last half of the commands show what it looks like to love others. So this is how you honor God. This is how you honor others. So the first four commands that are given here in Exodus 20, they address the people's relationship with God. And then the final six commands address our relationship with other people. And the fifth commandment, which is the first one in our relationships with other people, address the matter of the family. And I believe that this is no accident at all, because we cannot say that we love God if we don't love those who are closest to us. It's an outflow of our love and our honor for God. So let's pick this up. In verse 12, Exodus 20, it says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So the Israelites, their expectation, God's expectation of them, is to honor their parents. It's pretty simple. But what exactly does it mean to honor? We've been throwing this term around, and we need to understand exactly what it means. And what it means is to give weight, to glorify or esteem. So it's the action of placing value of or importance upon someone or something. So I've had the opportunity to go to, I don't know, 50 or 60 different Guardians games or Indians games in the past, whatever you prefer. And I have noticed that every single time the national anthem is played before the game, everyone stops what they're doing. People stop ordering food. Typically, people stop walking around. Typically, people stop talking with one another. We all stand. We show respect to the flag and what it stands for. We're honoring the flag. We're honoring our country as the national anthem is playing. Even though we have completely different political viewpoints, we have different values in life, we are all showing honor. We're choosing to show honor to the flag and what it stands for. God's telling the Israelites the same thing. You're supposed to give weight. You're supposed to give honor. You're supposed to give your parents the time of day because of the position they hold in your life. They've brought you into this world, so you should show them honor. So the Israelites are commanded by God to find value or importance in their parents. And it's not an accident that God gave this command. But to fully grasp this, we need to understand the culture here in the Middle East at this time. So in our society today, we're very individualistic. Like, typically, when you get married, you move out of your parents' house and you start your own family. And that's not a bad thing at all. But in ancient times, that's not exactly how the family unit worked. Typically, families, they stayed together. We see this in Abraham's life. Abraham, at the age of 75, he's called by God to go to the promised land, and it says that he left his father's house. He was breaking the social norm of that day. Later on in Genesis, we see Jacob and his 12 sons. They're all adults, but they are still living at home, helping take care of his father's flocks. So the custom, the culture of the day was that families, they stuck together. And when the Israelites, when they got to the promised land, a unit was constructed like this. You would have the father's home on the family land. And then as each son would get married within the home, they would add on to the house, or sometimes they would build just outside next to their parents' house. This is what archaeologists have discovered as they've, dug up the ground and looked at these things. So each family they would stick together. And these like family compounds, these clusters of homes, they would typically contain children, parents, grandparents, even great-grandparents if they were to live that long. And archaeologists believe that these clusters of homes typically averaged between 10 to 30 people just because the life expectancy was so short. But some of these homes, clusters of homes, they were even larger than that. So this is the family unit. During this time, they stuck together, they stayed together, they worked together to meet each other's needs. So this is the culture, this is the custom of that day. And in these family units, the father was the head of the household. They were the one in charge. So my dad, if he was the father, I would look up to him on the family property. He manages the property. I fulfill the tasks and the duties that are needed to take care of the land. That's the picture that we're seeing here. And this command was given to the people, to the children, to honor their parents, because if they did not respect their position, the father had the right to kick them off the family property, which would leave them homeless. So God, in his goodness and wanting to take care of the children of Israel, he's saying, hey, you need to honor your parents. Don't get on their bad side. Respect them so that you have your needs taken care of. But this command was also given for the good of the parents, because as they would age, they would have someone to assist them or take them or take care of them materially with food and housing, their physical needs, their mental and emotional needs as they grew older. Remember, there's no nursing homes or long care facilities at this time. The family compound, that was the nursing home. That was God's plan. That was his design to make sure that everyone's needs were taken care of. Just as the parents had cared for the children's needs at the beginning of their lives, children were supposed to take care of the parents as they grew older and their needs. So God is giving this command to the Israelite people for their good, for both the parents and for the children. But this command also comes with a promise to the Israelite people. We see that there at the end of verse 12, and it says that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So this command is not like individualistic. Here God is referring to the people as a nation as a whole. So he's saying, if you honor my commands, if you follow my commands, you will have peace in the promised land. You will be blessed. Your blessing within the promised land is that you will have rest and peace in the promised land, that your enemies will not come and conquer you. Now, if you're like me, you're thinking, all right, that's really cool, Pastor Derek, but this is talking about the Israelites. We are the church. We are not Israel. And I would say you have a very fair point. But God continues to address this matter throughout time, throughout his word. And we see this through his son, Jesus. So in Jesus' life, we see him address this matter in two different ways, in his teaching and in his example. And multiple times throughout Jesus' ministry here on earth, he stated the fifth commandment, you shall honor your father and mother, in his interactions with other people. He also stated this command in his interactions with the religious leaders. And that's what I want to look at here. So if you will turn now, jump forward to the New Testament, to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 7, we're going to see Jesus' instruction on this matter here. So where we're picking up this encounter in Mark 7 is that the religious leaders have come up from Jerusalem, and they are now accusing Jesus' disciples of not keeping the traditions and the commandments that had been given for the people to follow. But there's a key. The traditions, these were not things that God prescribed the Israelite people to do. These are rules that the religious leaders had made up. Not that they were all bad, but they had added extra rules, extra commands to the people saying, you need to follow this if you're going to live a life that's pleasing to God. So it's a difference between God's commands, man's traditions, man's rules. So Jesus then addresses this matter when he's talking to them by turning this question back onto the religious leaders, saying, what are you talking about? Your traditions are not more important than my law. In verse 9, and he, Jesus, said to them, the religious leaders, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your own tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and whoever reviles your father and mother will surely die. But you say, if a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is Corban, that is given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father and mother, thus making a void of God's word by your tradition that you have handed down and many such things. So what is Corban? Corban was simply a rule, a tradition that the religious leaders had come up with that you gave money to God. All right, that is a good thing. But here, Jesus is saying you are honoring man's traditions, man's rules by giving money to God over prioritizing giving money to your parents to help them financially, which was a custom of that time. So Jesus is saying you should be giving money to your parents instead. You should be making sure that their needs are cared for as they are growing older. It's more important to follow this command than to follow man's tradition. So Jesus, he's making a really, really bold statement of what it means to honor our parents. I mean, reading this initially, I'm like, I don't know. Like, I think giving money to God, to the church, is more important than taking care of your parents. That's not the case. The priority here is if your parents have needs, you need to make sure that those are taken care of before you give your money to the temple here, is what Jesus is saying. And I believe that this is showing us that God values life at any age, even parents who are aging, okay? They are still made in the image of God, and as a part of God's plan for caring for these people's needs, it is the job of the children to come alongside and provide for their needs physically, emotionally, mentally, even financially, if that is the case. So Jesus, he addresses this matter multiple times throughout his ministry in his teachings. But then we also see it in Jesus' example. Jesus, who is the Son of God, is our perfect example. We can look to him and know what it looks like to live a life that is pleasing to God by his example. And we're going to start at the beginning of his life as a child. If you're familiar with Luke 2 here, Jesus is 12 years old, and his family has traveled to Jerusalem. They've gone to partake in the Passover. And as Mary and Joseph, they're packing up their things, they begin to head home, and they realize that Jesus is not with them because he'd stayed behind without his parents' knowledge. And when this happens, they're immediately concerned. They go back and they look for him. What I find interesting is that Jesus, he's completely fine. As he is sitting in the temple, he is listening to the religious leaders' instructions and then asking them questions. And everyone in the temple is amazed at Jesus' understanding and knowledge of Scripture. It's kind of like he knew all things. But eventually, his parents realize, they come back and they look for him. And then Jesus says something that I find fascinating. In Luke 2, 49 through 51, it says, and he said to them, Jesus said to his parents, why are you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? And they did not understand the saying that he had spoke to them. And he went down with them, and he came to Nazareth, and he was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. So Jesus is saying, I'm here for the purpose, for the will of God. I'm here to do whatever God wants me to do. And Mary and Joseph, like, they don't fully understand everything that God is going to do through Jesus, the full purpose, why Jesus is here. But in spite of that, ultimately, Jesus submits himself to their authority and he returns home. Remember, this is Jesus, the Son of God. He has all power in heaven and on earth. And he honors his parents by obeying them. I'm blown away by this. But then, at the end of Jesus' life, as an adult, we see Jesus' example. So if we jump to the end of his life, he's hanging on the cross, he's paying the penalty for our sin that we deserve, he's bearing God's punishment, his wrath towards sin upon him. And then in John, we see that his mother has come before the cross and is standing before him, as well as his disciple John. And then Jesus tells his disciple John this: when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. And then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour on, the disciple took her to his own home. As Jesus is dying, he is concerned about the well-being of his mother. He is instructing John to take care of his mother. He's concerned about his mother's physical, emotional, and mental well-being. And he is honoring her by making sure that she is going to be cared for in his absence. So we see here, through Jesus' teaching and example, what it means to honor one's parents. And that brings us to the church. I'm going to ask you to turn to one final spot. I feel like I'm breaking every rule here in preaching by having you turn to three different passages, but I would like you to turn to Ephesians 6. It's important that we see how God is working throughout time and see that his plan, his design for the family has not changed at all. So in Ephesians 6 here, we're picking up where we're coming in here. Paul has been writing to the church. At the end of chapter 5, he's addressing the relationship between husbands and wives. And then in chapter 6, he begins to address the children. And I think oftentimes we think of this as like little kids. But in the culture, as we're going to see here in a minute, he's also addressing adult children in this as well. So we're going to see God's expectation here of believers. So in verse 1, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise." So God's expectation of believers is that we obey our parents. We listen to our parents' instruction, their guidance, their commands, and we follow them just as Jesus modeled for us. But immediately, like, I want to push back on this because there's a couple questions that we need to ask about this. And the first one is, do we always need to obey? Like, as children, do I always need to obey my parents? And the answer is no, actually. The intention behind this command is to only obey or follow one's parents' instruction when it does not go against God's will or God's command. So this is not blind obedience if the parents' request is legitimate. So kids, if your parents tell you to go home and like go to the grocery store and steal some food because they don't want to buy you, you know, a box of brownies, you need to tell them no. And you have every right to tell them no because that goes against God's expectation for how we are to live our lives. Your parents are telling you to break God's commands. But if your parents tell you to go pick up your room, there's nothing wrong with that. Your parents are telling you to do that for your own good so that they're not, you know, stepping on toys and getting injured, all right? So they're good, and then you're good so that you don't get hurt too. So you need to obey your parents. You should listen to their instructions when it does not go against God's will. So obedience is a way to honor our parents. But then it led me to think, but I am an adult. Do I still need to honor my parents? Or when can I stop obeying my parents? That is, you know, the other follow-up question. You can stop obeying your parents when you are an adult and you've moved out of the house. I remember when I turned 18 and I graduated, everything in my dad's house or in my house changed. I no longer had a curfew. I no longer had to follow certain instructions. I could play video games as long as I wanted. I could watch as much TV as I wanted. There's a whole bunch of rules and restrictions that were lifted off of me because I was an adult. But because I was still in my father's house, my dad said, like, here are the big three. You break one of these three commands, I'm kicking you out of the house. And he had every right to do that because I was choosing to live in his home and still willing to submit to his authority. So I would say to this, you can stop obeying your parents when you are adult and you have moved out of the house. But you may not have to obey your parents for forever, but we are to always honor them. That is a non-negotiable in God's eyes. And we saw this here, honor your father and mother. It said in verse 2, this is the first commandment with a promise. This means that we treat our parents respectfully as children. This means that we care for our parents' needs physically, emotionally, mentally, and materially if we need to as adults. And you might be thinking, I don't see that in the passage. But we need to consider the context, the culture that Paul is writing to in this time. And who he's writing to is this church in Ephesus. They are living within the Roman Empire. And during the Roman Empire, the family structure was very similar to ancient Israel. Families stuck together. They lived on the family property, and the father was the head of the household. But there was one major difference in the Roman culture. The father had the right to do whatever he wanted. to the property, to the land, and to his kids. There's cases where the dad had the right to sell their kids into slavery, adult children into slavery. He had the right to tell spouses, husband and wife, that they needed to divorce each other within the home. And there's a whole bunch of other crazy things that fathers were allowed to do. But Paul is saying here, in spite of that, you are to honor your parents. You're supposed to take care of their needs as they grow older. This theme that God is showing throughout time, throughout history, is staying true. But there's also a promise that is given to believers, and that is a long life. Verse 3 says that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Now, this is very similar to what was given to the Israelite people. The difference is with this promise is that it's individualistic, all right? So this is for each person sitting in this room. If you honor your parents, typically, this is like a proverb, typically, you will have a long life. That is your blessing. That is your reward for faithfully living out how God wants you to live. So we see God's expectation of believers. We are to obey our parents. We are to honor our parents always. And then we see the promise. But there's one more thing that we need to look at. And that is verse 4. And it's the expectations of fathers, all right? It's God's expectation of fathers. And we cannot break this verse from the rest of the text here. Like, this is linked to the first three verses here. So we have to consider what this has to say. Verse 4, it reads this: "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord." Why is Paul saying this? Why is he telling fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, all right? Don't cause them to be frustrated with you. Paul is saying this because, remember the culture, the father could do whatever they wanted no matter the age. And Paul is reminding the dads, you need to view your child as someone who's made in the image of God. They are worthy of respect. They are worthy of honor as well. You do not have the right to do whatever you please to your child. You, as a father, it is your job to maintain peace within the family. He's basically saying, you live an honorable life. And then we also see there at the end, fathers are to train their children. In a Roman culture around 7 or 8, you would begin to fall as a child. You would fall under the training of your father. And Paul's just reminding these believers, train your children in God's ways, not the world's ways. So 3 different time periods. The Israelites, this command has been given to them. We see Jesus' life about 1,400 years later. How he modeled this, how he taught this, he reaffirmed this command. Then later on, we see in the church, the age that we're in right now, this is what we are supposed to do, that we are to honor our parents regardless of what may happen. This command has stayed true across time and different cultural contexts. But as I was going through this, I thought to myself, there's one really big question, okay? I understand that I'm supposed to honor my parents, but what if I think my parents are not worthy of honor, that they don't deserve honor? What do we do if we find ourselves in a situation where our parents have mistreated us? Maybe they haven't cared for our needs physically and emotionally, or they verbally abused us, or even worse. If that's a part of your story, I want to tell you that was never a part of God's design for the family. You can read through scripture. That's not how God intended the family to work. But because people are sinful, sometimes we do what we want, and it's completely wrong, and it hurts other individuals. But these people who have harmed you, they're living contrary to how God designed things to work. But in spite of this, God still expects us to honor our parents. And that is because of the position in their life. But the honor that is bestowed upon them will look different depending on the relationship or the mistreatment that has been done. It is important to protect yourself from further harm. Sometimes, I guess what's being said here is we can honor our parents but yet not have an amazing relationship with them or even have a relationship with them, but we are to still honor them. So how do we honor our parents if the relationship may be strained or broken? Well, one way that we can honor our parents is that we can forgive them. And I know that this may seem impossible, but God's word is very clear that we can forgive those who have hurt us, and we have the ability to do that because God has forgiven us. He's forgiven us of our wrongdoings that we have committed. If he can do that to us, we can follow his example and forgive others. And when we forgive, we're letting go of all the bitterness and the anger that we are holding on to. This means that we are no longer choosing to act as the judge. Instead, we are allowing God, who is the perfect judge, to hold them accountable for their actions. And when we offer our parents forgiveness, we will find peace. If this is a part of your story and you're struggling to forgive your parents, I would encourage you to reach out to Pastor Paul. He would love to connect you with the counseling team here at First Baptist and just help you walk through how you can forgive your parents, what it looks like, and how you can have that so that you can find peace and rest in Jesus, that you won't be holding on to all this anger and bitterness. So we can honor our parents by forgiving them. We can also honor our parents by praying for them. You can ask God to transform the life of the parent who has hurt you. What I love about reading through God's word is that we see time and time again how God uses like the worst of the worst people, and he transformed their lives because of the gospel, and he uses them to glorify him. So you can pray that your parents' eyes would be open to the transforming work of the gospel. You can also speak with respect. You can honor them by using words and attitudes and actions when you interact with them that are kind. You're not angry, you're not frustrated with them. So you choose to speak to your parents with a respectful attitude or tone. And we can also choose to speak respectfully about our parents to others. It is never our job to publicly declare someone's faults and wrongdoings to other people. The Bible's pretty clear, that's gossip. That's something that is not pleasing to God. So when we speak about our parents to others, we need to speak about them in a way that pleases God. That's a simple way to show honor to your parents. Now this list, it's by no means exhaustive, but I hope that you can see no matter your situation, if the relationship is broken, if you don't feel like they deserve honor, you can still show honor in ways that are pleasing to God. And as believers, that should be our desire, to live a life that's pleasing to God, to show honor. So there's several things that we need to consider. We're gonna look at one more question, then we're just gonna walk through some general principles of how we apply all this knowledge. And the first thing that we need to consider is how is our relationship with God, or how is your relationship with God? And it starts off with this idea of, do you even have a relationship with God? We saw in Exodus 20 that our relationship with God is a direct reflection of our relationship with others. So if we are struggling to love others, especially our parents, there is a good chance that your relationship with God is not right. It is broken. And it could mean that you don't even have a relationship with God. You have not submitted to the fact that God is a perfect God, that he cannot stand sin. And because of sin, the consequences for sin is death and eternal separation from God. But God in his love for us, he sent Jesus here to this earth to pay the penalty for our sin. And the only way that we can have this relationship restored with God is by believing that Jesus died and rose again, that he was the perfect sacrifice for our sins. When that relationship with God is restored, this is what happens. You will begin to love people the way that God desires you to. So a question here, if you're sitting here this morning, is do I even have a relationship with God? If I'm struggling to do these things, is that true of me? Another thing that we need to consider is, do I need to confess any sin in my life to restore my relationship with God? So we see in scripture that when we sin, we don't lose our salvation, but when we're living the way that we want to live in a way that's not pleasing to God, it causes our relationship with God to be broken. We become separate from him in some ways. And when that happens, we will not love other people the way that God intended. When we do not love God and honor him by following his commands, his expectations on how we are to live, we will struggle to love others the way that God intended. So is there any sin in your life that you need to confess so that your relationship with God is right, so that you can begin loving other people the way that God intended? So, if we have a right relationship with God, what do we do with these principles? And I'm going to start off with the young people. So children and teens, there are several things that we can easily do to honor our parents. And the first is that we should just obey our parents. A way that we can honor them is by following their instruction. And a part of the reason why God gave us parents is as they're following God and as they're training you to follow God as well, your parents are gonna put rules and instructions and commands in place to protect you, to protect you from the consequences of sin. And I know that sometimes in the moment, you're like, I hate this. Like, I don't want to follow this. But the reality is, your parents are trying to take care of your needs, to save you from the consequences of sin. So we should obey our parents as they are teaching us how to follow God. We should also speak respectfully to our parents. It is never, we never have the right, no matter how frustrated we are, to yell at our parents. But we are to use words that are kind towards them. But then we should also speak respectfully about them to other people. Like, just because you hate a rule that your parents have put in place, that doesn't mean that you are allowed to go tell your friends, my parents are the worst. That is not honoring to your parents at all. So you should obey your parents, you should speak respectfully, and then you can seek their advice. Like, instead of, we're in an age where we immediately turn to the internet or social media. You turn to ChatGPT or Instagram or TikTok to seek advice in certain matters. There is tremendous value in talking to your parents as you are wrestling through issues of life, as they know you best. All right, they care about you, they love you, and they want to help point you in the right direction. We can only do that if we seek their advice in these matters. And again, this list is by no means exhaustive, but young people, we are to honor our parents. God's word is very clear on this. Adult children, we should speak respectfully to our parents. Again, we should talk kindly to our parents. It doesn't matter how frustrated we are about the situation. It doesn't matter the conflict that is going on. It doesn't matter the issue that is happening. We are to speak respectfully. We're supposed to speak kindly to our parents in every situation. And then, just like with the kids, you speak respectfully about your parents to other people. It is not my job to go around and expose the faults of my parents. I do not have the right to do that. It's something that is dishonoring to God. And when I don't honor my parents in a way, that's gonna break our relationship. It's gonna strain our relationship. God has put these things in place for our good. We can also seek advice. Like my dad this week, he is over helping me with the bathroom. I probably could have figured it out with some YouTube videos, but you know what? Him being there was a whole lot faster and it was a whole lot more enjoyable than me just working by myself. So we can seek our parents' advice in areas that they are knowledgeable. And we should do this on a regular basis. But then as adult children, we need to consider the needs of our parents physically, mentally, emotionally, and materially. I realize that every family situation is different. But as adult children, God's expectation is that we are there to care for our parents in any way that they need as they grow older. So this means that I should consider the needs of my parents before I move across the country. That could be God's will for my life. And if it is God's will for my life, that surpasses this following this command. But I need to consider, does God actually want me to stay here and take care of my parents as they age? We need to wrestle through these things in life's decisions as children. It could be that you need to be willing to have your parents move into your home so that you can give them the care that is needed as they grow older. Or if they are in an assisted living home or a nursing home, because that's the best place for them to receive the medical care that they need, are you regularly checking up on them with their mental and their emotional needs? Like, just because their physical needs are taken care of, that doesn't mean that there's not other struggles that are going on in their life that you should take care of as an adult child. That is God's expectation for us. Or do you just need to help your parents around the house? Do they need help with yard work? Do they need help with transportation? Do you just need to spend some time with them? The list can go on and on and on. But we as an adult children, we need to consider, are we truly taking care of our parents' needs, no matter the age that they are? But there's one more group of people in this room, and that is children with no parents. I know that many of you, you've lost either one or both of your parents, but even after death, we are to still honor our parents. And one way that we can do that is we just speak respectfully about them. We honor them by telling our children or our friends the good memories, the things that they taught us. We don't talk badly about them ever. that stays true, whether you're a child, whether you're an adult child, whether your parents are gone, you always speak respectfully about them. And then if there's a godly heritage, we can pass that on. We can point to our parents and say, look, this is what our family has done. This is how God has worked in our family throughout time. And you can honor God in that way just by passing on this godly heritage. So those are three different ways that we as children are supposed to honor our parents. But parents, you're not off the hook. In Ephesians 6, I believe that Paul is making it very clear here that we as parents are to play a role in helping our parents be able to honor us. Paul is saying that we as parents, we are to live honorable lives so that we are worthy of respect and honor of our parents. So parents, are you living an honorable life? Just as our children, just as we are made in the image of God as parents, and we have value and worth, and we want our children to take care of us, our children are also made in the image of God. So our attitudes, our words, and our actions should reflect that, how we interact with them. Like in my child's life right now, I can build my daughter up with my words, or I can tear her down 10 minutes later by the words that I use. And Paul is saying here, don't do that. You need to live an honorable life so that you are worthy of respect and honor of your children. So are you living an honorable life? Are you treating your child as being made in God's image? If we do this, it'll be easy for our kids to look at us worthy of respect and honor. So are you treating your children as being made in the image of God? And then the last one, this is probably the hardest one. Because it's possible that over the course of time, whether 2 days ago, or 5 years ago, or 20 years ago, you as a parent, you have hurt your child in some way. You've mistreated them in some way. You didn't follow through on something that you said you were going to. You ignored a concern that was in their life. You have, or even worse, all right? You said something that you shouldn't have. You should go to your child and you should ask them for forgiveness. You should say, hey, I'm sorry I messed up. And when we do that, suddenly our child is gonna be able to look at us and go, they confess their sin. I can look up to them now because they made right our relationship. This can be a really hard thing to do. I hate going to my kids and say, hey, I'm sorry, I messed up. I shouldn't have talked to you in that way. It is the worst thing because like I am convicted of my sin. But guys, if we want to live a life that's pleasing to God, this is what we have to do. We need to make right the relationships, especially within our family. So you should consider the fact, do I need to ask my child for forgiveness for some mistreatment that I might have caused so that they can look at me as an honorable person, so that they can honor me, so that I can help my child follow the command that God has given them. Because regardless, you can treat your children like absolute garbage and God still expects your children to honor you. But as a parent who loves my kids, I don't want that to be the case. I want them to look at me as someone who is worthy of respect and honor. So do you need to ask forgiveness for some mistreatment? I want to close with this. As one of your pastors, I had the privilege of hearing what's going on in many of your guys' lives. And I know many of you who are sitting in this room. And I know that many of you, you guys are caring for your parents well. You are looking out for their needs. You're noticing these things. You're taking them to doctor's appointments. You're buying them groceries. You're taking care of the yard. You're checking in on them as they're living in the nursing home. And the list could go on and on and on. I also know that many of you who are caring for your parents in this way, you guys are exhausted and weary. But I also know this. God is pleased by your actions and how you are honoring your parents. So well done. Well done in being faithful in honoring your parents in this way. You will be blessed. So continue to do what you are doing. So this is a lifelong command that we see throughout time, throughout scripture, how God wants us to care for the needs of our parents, whether we are a child, whether we are a teen, whether we are an adult child, whether we are a parent. These are the things that we are to do to help one another grow in our walk with Christ and live in a way that's pleasing to God. So we need to ask ourselves the question. We need to think through these principles. Is there anything in my life that I need to change? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you show us so clearly how we can live a life that's pleasing to you. And sometimes that means that we have to do really hard things and honor people and show love towards people that can make it really, really difficult. But help us, God, help us to follow through on this command no matter where we may be at, whether we are a child, whether we are a parent, that we would live lives that are pleasing to you so that you can just receive all the glory and honor from our actions, that people would be able to look at us and go, that family interacts different. I wonder why. And that gives us opportunities to share the gospel. So I just ask that you would help us to fulfill this lifelong command, that we would do this well for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.